Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, January 23rd. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday. Happy Creation Club Day. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, some of our listeners may have seen in the news something that just popped up yesterday, that a rare living fossil shark was caught off the coast of Australia. Fishermen in Australia got a shock this week when they pulled up their nets to find a rarely seen shark species that dates back 80 million years. Known as a living fossil, the frilled shark was named for its six pairs of frilly-like gill slits and is one of the most primitive sharks in existence. Looking more like an eel, the snake-like shark reaches a length of 6.5 feet. It uses its 300 sharp trident-shaped teeth arranged in 25 rows to capture bony fish and other sharks. It then uses its flexible jaws to swallow its prey whole. The Southeast Trawl Fishing Industry Association, which first announced the discovery, said the fish was caught at a depth of 2,300 feet by a trawler off Australia. So, kind of freaky, kind of interesting to note that. What's our comment on that? Well, first of all, this particular fish, they're not saying is 80 million years old, but what they're saying is that kind of shark, you know, was found in the fossil record, and they believe, if you believe the evolutionary timescale, that it was 80 million years old. What would we say in response to that? Well, notice that it's still reproducing after its own kind. So the older you say the rocks are, the worse it is for the person who believes in evolution, because we have lots and lots and lots of so-called living fossils. That is, creatures that still live today, and you can find their same kind in the fossil record. And if you say the rocks are 80 million years old, well, guess what? Then that means that this creature that is recognizably the same today is still reproducing after its own kind, which is exactly what God says in Genesis chapter 1. And it doesn't tie in with evolution at all, because whether you're talking bacteria or sponges, whether you're talking sharks or horseshoe crabs or starfish, whether you're talking mammals or birds or lizards or frogs or turtles, you go down the list, all of these kinds of things have been found in the fossil record. In fact, you know, people don't really know that in the same rock layers found with dinosaur fossils, all the major animal phyla living today have also been found. Fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals, starfish, brittlefish, sea urchins, sea cucumbers, insects, shrimp, crayfish, lobsters, crabs, spiders, scorpions, centipedes, millipedes, oysters, clams, scallops, mussels, snails, nautilus, tusk shells, sea cradles, earthworms, tube worms, sponges, and coral, and you go on and on and on. And the same thing is true of the plants. All the major plant divisions living today also have been found in the same rock layers with the dinosaurs. And that includes, you know, not only moss and things like that, and not only the ginkgo, which usually gets trotted out as an example of a living fossil, but cyads, tree ferns, pines, chestnut, oak, sassafras, poplar, walnut, ash, magnolia, poppies, bay, everglades, palm, sweet gum. You go down the list, lilies. All of those have been found fossilized in the same rock layers with the dinosaur fossils. And so if you say the dinosaurs were extinct, you know, 65 million years ago, then guess what? All of these same things that are still living today and are recognizably the same as the one in the fossil, you can hold them up side by side and see they're the same, you know, that they didn't evolve. They look exactly the same. And guess what? That doesn't point to evolution. What does that point to? Stasis, that everything still reproduces after its own kind. There are many, many such examples, and there's a wonderful DVD and book that I recommend to our listeners by Dr. Carl Werner. That's C-A-R-L, last name W-E-R-N-E-R. Dr. Carl Werner, he's a physician in the St. Louis area. He and his wife have traveled all over the world and have spent, you know, decades filming these things, and they're producing a series of books and DVDs that are absolutely outstanding. And you just watch this, and it's jaw-dropping. You say, why would anybody want to believe in evolution? But those who do persist in believing it, because for them, it is their religion. And which leads us to more religious stuff, because Charles Darwin would be their chief saint. You know, we're coming up in the month of February. Often we celebrate President's Day. We celebrate the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. Well, guess who was born the exact same day as Abraham Lincoln? Charles Darwin. They were both born February 12th in 1809. And so there's an evolutionary biologist and atheist by the name of Michael Zimmerman, who for quite a few years now has been promoting what he calls Evolution Weekend. And he's got this thing called the Clergy Letter Project, where he has written a letter which he has sent out to a lot of clergy and gotten support from individual clergymen, from denominations and judicatories within denominations, like whole districts or dioceses and things like this, which support his ideas about evolution. What it comes down to, let me just kind of read a couple of the things here for you. He claims that while most believers, most Christians overwhelmingly believe the Bible, the majority do not read the Bible literally as they would a science textbook. They believe the Bible conveys timeless truths about God, but shouldn't be taken literally. Religious truth is of a different order from scientific truth. His purpose is not to convey scientific information, but to transform hearts. Sounds nice, doesn't it? And he goes on to say that the discoveries of modern science can coexist with these Bibles, these timeless truths of the Bible, as long as you don't try to take the Bible literally. We believe that the theory of evolution is a foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to the rigorous scrutiny upon which much of human knowledge and achievement rests. To reject this truth or to treat it as one theory among others is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. We believe that among God's good gifts are human minds capable of critical thought, and that the failure to fully employ this gift is a rejection of the will of our Creator. To argue that God's loving plan of salvation for humanity precludes the full employment of the God-given faculty of reason is to attempt to limit God, an act of hubris. We urge school board members to preserve the integrity of the science curriculum by affirming the teaching of the theory of evolution as a core component of human knowledge. We ask that science remain science, that religion remain religion, two very different but complementary forms of truth. That's from the Clergy Letter Project, Michael Zimmerman. It's interesting that he talks about what Christians believe and about God's loving plan of salvation, all this. He rejects that. He's an atheist. And yet, he's been successful in recruiting at least some clergy. In fact, it's kind of an interfaith thing, not only limited to Christians. He appeals to Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, certainly, you know, the secular humanist ethical societies and Unitarian Universalists and people like this, to get them all on board to promote Evolution Weekend, which this year will be observed the weekend that would be February 13, 14, 15. So whatever day of the week there you celebrate your worship, then he invites you to celebrate this as Evolution Weekend. And, you know, I've read all through the stuff on his website, and he's just wrong, 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 wrong. You know, in this letter I just read to you, you know, he and those who follow him commit the error that Ken Ham has pointed out again and again. They don't recognize the difference between real science, working science, observational science, versus historical or origin science. In other words, the, you know, science, that is what you observe and test and repeat and can measure today, that kind of thing, the stuff that produces, enables human beings to produce rockets and computers and modern medicine and stuff like this. We don't disagree with that. It's Christians who believe the Bible and read Genesis in a straightforward, literal sense, as it's intended to be taken, don't disagree with that kind of science at all. There is no contradiction between the Bible and real science. But evolution isn't real science, and that's where they play fast and loose with the word. When you try to make it sound like science, like evolution is science, and you can't really understand science if you don't believe in evolution. That's a different thing from saying understand it. I think Christians should read and understand the opposing point of view.
Certainly be knowledgeable, yeah.
Exactly, be knowledgeable about it and truly think critically about it and understand its weaknesses and so forth. But that's not the same thing as believing it. But they're saying that if public schools don't teach this and keep it as a core component of human knowledge, that you're going to pass on. You're going to embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. That's a bunch of baloney. And so, again, the not understanding the difference between real science and evolution, not understanding the flaws of evolution, this is a big weakness on this man's part and those who believe this and teach this. People who believe in the doctrine of creation as is taught in Genesis are not failing to employ their reason. They are, because evolution is not good theology, it is not based on sound exegesis of the text, that is, biblical methods of interpretation, it's not based on sound exegesis, it's not good science. It does not stand up to scrutiny. Mm-hmm. It does not lead to human achievement. You know, they can't point to a single advancement in science and technology that's related to evolution. And yet, they scream that if you take evolution out of the public schools, you know, then we won't have engineers and we won't have scientists and we won't be able to build anything or solve any problems. That's baloney. Dr. David Menton has a wonderful DVD. He's got a lot of them, a lot of good DVDs, but one of them has to do with, you know, is evolution really necessary to teaching biology? And he just absolutely decimates that idea. And yet, that is the battle cry of those whose religion is a secular humanistic religion, and evolution is foundational to that. And yesterday we observed the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Abortion is their sacrament. You know, they cannot give up abortion, and they will not give up evolution because they hold so firmly to this atheistic worldview that will not allow God to be God. And then you get, okay, if you're recruiting churches to observe this, well, then you get into theistic evolution, which basically allows you to have a God who doesn't do anything. You can have a God who is God, but he didn't really intervene in human history, and everything you can know about what's real in the world, well, that comes from science. I read a whole bunch of stuff on this guy's web page, and people talk about science operates from complete objectivity in its purest pursuit of knowledge. Observable scientific facts must be gathered and interpreted by fallible humans. Well, that's the comment is then by the Answers in Genesis people, is that observable scientific facts are then gathered by and interpreted by fallible humans, and who are all biased and all limited in knowledge. Scientists, being humans, are also limited by time and are therefore unable to make repeatable scientific observations of the origin of life or of the universe. Origin science requires the acceptance of a reliable eyewitness testimony, if available, which we do have in the Bible, and the comparison of that eyewitness testimony with scientific findings observable in the present. And yet, the people who believe in evolution say, this is the sin of creationism. If it is through the literal devotion to stories such as those in Genesis that we believe we are going to find true knowledge of our Creator, we are going to be sadly disappointed. This is the sin of creationism in church and society today, the belief that through the limited storytelling of an ancient people, we think we have in our possession everything God wants us to know. So that's their attitude. They also list a whole bunch of sermons. I bet they've got links to probably hundreds of sermons from people who have signed on to this over the years. I mean, this goes back to, 2004? It was the fall of 2004 when Mr. Zimmerman began this particular project. And over the years, hundreds of people, mostly liberal churches and universalist, you know, Unitarian Universalist kind of churches, those are the main ones that signed up. But, you know, plenty of some rabbis and various, even some Lutherans, but I'm pretty sure they're ELCA Lutherans, not LCMS. So I thought I would check out one of the sermons. So I clicked on the link for a sermon from February 5th, 2012, by the Reverend J. Edward Barrett, who was preaching at Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Brevard, North Carolina. And I read his whole sermon, and there's no Jesus in it anywhere. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about the cross, nothing about his death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, no call to repent and believe the good news, which is what, you know, Jesus says, repent and believe the good news, but none of that in this sermon. It's all hailing the science and science as understood as evolution. And so, you know, he begins by saying that he wants to make two main points: evolution as understood by modern science and faith as understood by modern theology, the relationship of the two, getting head and heart together. The language of science is literal prose. The language of faith is wonder and praise, often poetry. And let me just jump ahead. You know, then when he gets to Genesis, he mentions, you know, God says, let us make man in our image. Well, he says, who are the us? He says, well, the only others could be animals. So we are a joint project of God and the animals already created and living. Well, there you go. There's your proof for evolution. And it's just really, really sad that throughout this, you know, he denies the truth of the Bible. His gospel for him is that we evolved to share. And so we're in the image of God because we can share.
The true gospel found only in God's word, right, Pastor?
And the message of Jesus Christ crucified and raised for our salvation. Yes, indeed.
Well, very good. We'll talk again next week, Pastor. God's blessings.
And to you.